Welcome to the Anthem Church Podcast. Our desire is to transform lives through authentic experiences with God and with people. This message is brought to you from Anthem Church in Fairview, Oregon. We pray you are encouraged, inspired, and strengthened through the teaching and preaching of God's Word.
Bible verses that have been kind of the theme for this series in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 through 12. And it says this: two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other one can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. I was thinking about that tragic situation with the woman that went hiking up in the Mount Hood or Mount Hood, and the cougar attacked. Just a horrific thing. And Lisa and I were taking a walk this morning in the wilderness where we live, because there's been cougar sightings in our neck of the woods a few times. You know, we were talking about that and how if this. You know, the chances are that if this woman had not been alone, she probably would not have been attacked. Because even if you're, you know, because you'd fight it together. You know, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated, but two can stand back to back and conquer. Amen. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So, you know, those verses, you read them and you go, why would I ever do something alone again, right? It'd be crazy. Because all of us need people like that in our lives, right? People that help us succeed. People that reach out and stick close to us. That when we're about to fall, grab us. When we stumble, they keep us upright. Come on, are you with me? We need those people. We need people who will fight for us, fight with us, amen, and until we win together. I just love that. And I want that. I want that for my life, and I want that for your life, because that's the best life you can live. Amen. That's a good life, and we need to desire that and work, strive towards that. I mean, we need to destroy the enemy's tactic. There's a strategy of the enemy to separate, to isolate, to divide and conquer, and we need to war against that big time. And that's what the group life is all about. Come on, say, give me a big amen, Anthem. Amen. Okay, but here's the big question, and the question I'm going to answer today: how do we find those people? How do we find these kind of people? Where do I find these kind of people that are going to be, that are the right people for my life? And well, that's what we're going to talk about today. And that's why I titled the message, Finding Your People. Because folks, we need to find our people, and I'm going to suggest to you today that finding your people, and being connected to them is probably one of the most important things that you're ever going to do in life. It's going to be more important for you to find your people than it is for you to get into the right career, or get into the right maybe ministry, or the right school, or the right education, or the right area of social justice, or whatever you're stirred to do. Finding your people is going to be more important than any of those other things. And I just believe this with all my heart, because some people find their kind of connect and want to look for their people in a lot of different places. You look for your people, maybe that you look for your people in the next job opportunity, or the career, it's out there. So people will move someplace to take a job opportunity and thinking that that's going to be my people. My people are going to be in that area, or that sphere, or that industry. That's my people. And you get there and you find out, though, well, it's a job, but it's not my people. Come on, are you with me? You understand what I'm talking about? And or maybe you think your people are part of the college that you go to, or your alma mater. I'm a Beaver, but I'm not a that's not my people. Okay, I'm a Beaver supporter, but not my people, right? And, or the you are a sorority or a fraternity or whatever it is that identifies you. Some people do it with cultural things, try to find their people with, connecting with a certain way of dress, or a certain way of way you take care of your hair. There's all sorts of groups that we think, maybe that's my people. Now and so we try to engage with them. I thought my people, when I was in high school, I thought I was an athlete, right? I thought my people were athletic. So, you know, I was part of the athletic world, but it just wasn't right. And I realized this is not my people. And so then I thought, well, then I'm going to, you know, go into the music and theater and you know, use my talents in that area and you know, ended up the lead role in the school musical, and I'm, you know, the star of the show, but realized that's not my people either. It just didn't satisfy. And then finally, I met Jesus, and, you know, I was introduced to the Lord, and I had a moment where I connected with God's people, and all of a sudden, you know, I realized, I think my search is coming to an end here, because the people of God, I suddenly felt like this place was a place where I belonged, amen? And so, you know, I believe that people are out there searching for their people. They may not know it inside, but all of us have deep down in us a desire to find our people. And when we find them, you know it. And they're the ones that are capable of helping us really reach the full potential of our lives. And they can help us like no one else can. And I believe that God wants each one of us to find our people. And it may be just the one, but it may be the many, or it may be a larger group. But God wants us to find our people. And it's what makes the journey so good, amen? It makes it successful. It makes it satisfying. I love this ancient African saying that says this: if you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Isn't that good? If you want to go fast, go alone. But if you want to go far, go together. Well, we're going together here at Anthem. Come on, amen? And so what I want to do today is help you to identify the people that are your people. What kind of people do you look for? What kind of people, you know, how will you know who they are when you find them, right? Who are the ones that have the potential of bringing out the best in us? So I listed 5 characteristics of people that you are looking for, amen? For when you find these 5 characteristics in people, then you know you found the people that are for you and that you need, amen? I love the story of Ruth, and I'm going to start there, because Ruth illustrates this whole picture of finding your people really amazingly well. Ruth is a young Moabite widow, and her mother-in-law Naomi has experienced some catastrophic events in life, similar to the man I was talking about earlier, but catastrophic events in her life. She's lost her husband, she's lost both of her sons, and so all her hopes, dreams for the future ended. All she has is 2 daughter-in-laws, and she's gets this desire to go home. She wants to go home to the place of her nation of her birth, and so she's decided to leave and go back to Israel from Moab. And she has these 2 daughter-in-laws, and she brings her daughter-in-laws to her. She says, listen, you guys, you go home to your families. You deserve a second chance to have a husband and build your own family and to experience life like that. And Oprah, one of them, just, you know, thanks Naomi, kisses her, says goodbye, and leaves and goes to her family. But Ruth does different. You know, something is different in Ruth. Ruth makes a different choice. And somehow, somewhere, deep inside of her, she has a sense that she's found her people. And she has this connection with Naomi. And she speaks to Naomi this in your key Bible verse today in Ruth 1:16. It says, but Ruth replied, don't urge me to leave you or turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. Where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. That's an incredible verse. What an amazing thing to say. And do you know why she said this? It's because she had found her people. She knew that her people wasn't with her former life and the family that she grew up in. She knew it wasn't about the opportunities that were out there for her. She knew that her people were with Naomi. She had found them, and she was determined to stay no matter what. She had no idea what the future looked like, but she knew that Naomi was her people, right? And this verse captures me very much, because here's the truth. I don't know if there would be a book of Ruth in our Bible if it wasn't for this verse. Think about it. This is the one. This is the one that changes everything. And that's why I really believe that God noticed Ruth and what she said. God noticed it, and he gets involved. What happens? God connects her with Boaz, who has heard of her commitment to Naomi, and he has also noticed how beautiful she is, both inside and out. He notices her character and how she, you know, is caring for her mother-in-law. And in the end, Boaz takes her as his wife, according to the customs and the laws of the land. And through Boaz, Ruth gives birth to a man that would not only be the restoration of Naomi and her family and her future, but it would also be this child, that would become the grandfather of David, the king. And she would gain the notoriety of being in the lineage of the Savior Jesus. Can you imagine that? All from a decision that these are my people, this is my people, and your people are going to be my people. And she found her people, and God gave her great favor in that midst and blessed her with success, with more than she could have ever imagined, and she fulfilled her purpose. And we read about her today. I believe that is for all of us, that God has a people for us, and that in the midst of the people that he has for us, there is a place of blessing, there's a place of fulfillment, there's a place of success, and there's a place where we accomplish the purposes of God for our lives in a way that we could have never imagined, nor would have ever happened in any other situation. Can I get a big amen today? And that's why you need to find your people. So who are your people? Okay, who are your people? Let me give you these five characteristics real quick, and then we're going to go home. Amen. Watch football. Okay. All right. Number one, your people are the people who believe there's greatness in you. Your people are the people who believe there is greatness in you. Boaz had heard above all that Ruth had done for her mother-in-law. And just a side note here, be good to your mother-in-laws, okay? You never know when the blessing's going to come in that. So Boaz had heard how good Ruth was to her mother-in-law, all that she'd done, and he sensed right away that there was something very special about this person. He sensed the greatness that was in her. Okay, and Naomi, of course, saw the greatness in Ruth right away, encouraged her that God was going to use her to do something great. And listen, folks, your people are people who believe in the greatness inside of you. They believe that there's something inside of you that is just waiting to be revealed. And they believe in the greatness that is inside of you before it even begins to be expressed or being seen and developed. Come on, are you with me? They just have this sense that there's something special in you, and they treat you like that. Come on, that's your kind of your people, amen? And God sees that kind of greatness in his children. We look for it, and when we're looking for it, we will find it. Amen. Dave Cunningham, one of my early mentors in ministry, he actually was the one who married Lisa and I. Was he saw something in me that I didn't see. I mean, I'm just this 19-year-old that is trying to find my way in ministry and moved a long way from home, and I'm out there all by myself. And he just takes me under his arm, and he begins to, you know, encourage me and teach me and believe in me. And guess what? I knew that I'd found my people. I'd found a place where these were my people, amen? And I want to ask that question. Who around you believes in the greatness that is in you? Who encourages you to rise? Who draws out the greatness in you? Who opened doors for you and believes in your greatness even at the cost of their own future? Those are your people. Stick with them. Those are the people that you want to be around, and that's the people that you want to do life with. That's your fam. That's your group. That's your people. Amen. I love the story of Jonathan and David. I don't know if you're familiar. Jonathan and David. Jonathan was King Saul's son, And Jonathan was the heir to the throne, okay? And David becomes a close friend to Jonathan, so close, in fact, that when the king starts feeling threatened by David and starts to look for opportunities to take David out, David goes to his friend Jonathan and says to Jonathan, you know, I know your father has evil intentions towards me, and they talk about it. And Jonathan pledges his loyalty to David. And you think about this and you go, how could he do that? I mean, because he should have saw David as a threat. He should have saw him as an enemy. He should have saw him as a usurper of the throne. He should have saw him as the one who stood between him and his destiny as the rightful heir to the king to the throne. But he didn't, because he saw the greatness of God in David. He saw and believed in that greatness and believed in the greatness of David to his own peril. Look at it in 1 Samuel 20:17. And Jonathan had David reaffirm his oath out of love for him, because he loved him as he loved himself. You know, your people, let me just say, your people will sacrifice their own best interests for yours because they believe in the greatness of God in you. Come on, are you with me? Here's another characteristic of your people. Here's the second thing. Your people don't let you settle for less than what is God's best. They don't let you settle, okay? You know, this past week was the anniversary of 9/11. Devastating thing. Probably the worst attack on America in two centuries, right? But honestly, I like the kind of America that we became the first couple of years after 9/11. Because we changed. There's a lot of things that changed about the way we looked at life. All of a sudden, there was this kind of sense that, hey, everything could end in a moment. And we started to think, you know, I'm not just going to settle. I'm going to live life and you know, make sure that we turned into this let's roll generation, right? Let's roll. Let's get it done. And so instead of avoiding death, we need to pursue life. And so we started living again and without holding anything back. And I love that. Listen, what are you going to save for the next life? Is there anything in this world that you could save for the next life? Come on. Why not just spend it all right here, right? Give it all. I mean, we need to do the things that need to be done. Come on, amen? We need to say the things that need to be said. We need to write the things that need to be written. We need to live the life that needs to be lived right now and hold nothing back. Come on, say amen. And folks, your people are people who stir you to live that kind of life. They stir you to, they won't let you settle for what's comfortable. They stir you into moving out of your comfort zone. Take the next step. Pursue the dream. You know, follow God's calling on your life. They stir you not to wait for tomorrow, because tomorrow may never come. And that's the truth. Live today to its fullest. Come on. Can I get an amen here? All right. Because there are a lot of people that won't do that for you. There are a lot of people that allow you just to, you know, tread water and kind of just, you know, rough enough is good enough, but not your people. Your people won't let you settle. In fact, your people might even get mad at you when you do settle. Here's one point right here. Check this out. 2 Kings 13, Elisha, the prophet, is called by the king of Israel because he's in a panic. They're being attacked by the Arameans. And the king of Israel needs a word from God. So he calls the prophet Elijah. And he needs some wisdom. He needs a word from God. Elijah is old at this time in his life. He is very old. He's about ready to go on to be with Jesus. And he goes to the king and he has a word. And the prophet says this to the king, 2 Kings 13. He said to them, then he said, excuse me, take the arrows. And the king took him. And Elisha told him, strike the ground. And he struck the ground three times and stopped. And the man of God was angry with him and said, you should have struck the ground five or six times. Then you would have defeated Aram and completely destroyed it. But now you will defeat it only three times. You know, I wonder why didn't the prophet say, strike the ground five times? Strike the ground six times. He didn't, did he? Because See, God leaves that to us. He tells us what to do, but he leaves it to us to what intensity we're going to do it with, or what level we're going to do it with. And so he tells him, I mean, he obeyed the prophet, but the prophet gets angry. That's what he said. He said that Elijah gets angry with him. You should have struck it several times, but he settled for three. Boom, boom, boom. Settled for three. And instead of, you know, he defeats him, defeats him three times, and he could have knocked him right out of the box, right? So when you find your people, sometimes they'll make you a little angry because they won't allow you to settle for second best. And listen, you don't want to. Come on, say amen. Amen. You can't take anything away from this life. So, you know, you have to go in all here, leave it all on the field, right? Go into heaven with a sword in your hand, with your quiver of, empty of arrows, because you took every shot that you needed to. You risked it all, amen, and you finished your course strong and faithful, amen. Those are your people, those kind of people that won't let you settle. Third characteristic of your people, are your people feed you more than they need you. They feed you more than they need you, and I love this. Your people will want to give you more than they require of you. They'll want to empty themselves into your life instead of receiving what you have for them, right? That's how we know that the people that we've come into together with are our people, amen? Case in point, David, here's a story about David. David was in trouble, right? David gets chased out of Jerusalem, and Saul's trying to, you know, kill him, and David needs some help. David needs some people. He's crying out, God, I need some people to stand with me. And so what does God bring him? Well, he brings him some folks. But it's kind of funny. It's not the ones that you'd expect. He doesn't bring him some elite fighting force that will help him. Verse 2 of chapter 22, 1 Samuel. All those who were in distress or in debt or discontented gathered around him. So here's people that are worried sick. The people that bite their fingernails. They're people that have empty pockets. And they're people that are grumblers. That's who comes. Grumblers and empty pockets. That's who he gets. And guess what? God says, you think you need people? No, I want you to feed them. And so David begins to feed and impart and begins to believe in them and train them and to believe in who they are and what God has for them. And guess what? Ultimately, this group of riffraff, this group of malcontents, they become great warriors, legends, mighty men, stories that are told of them that we still read today. Why? Because they became David's people, because David fed them more than he needed them, okay? And I love this, because Jesus said this. He said, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. He told Peter that three times, right? Feed my sheep. Feed. And so when you come around people that are feeding you more than they need you, come on, they want to bless you and impart to you. These are people you want to call your people. Are you with me? All right? Are you getting this? Are you learning something today? You're awful quiet over there, but I know this is stuff that's sinking in. We're going to bring it all together. Let me move on. Your people are with you in the midst. Here's the next characteristic. Your people are with you in the midst of success and the midst of failure. It doesn't matter whether you're on the mountaintop or or have failed, Bananas Royal. They are with you. They are with you. They are with you. They're going to stick with you. Through the valleys, on the mountaintops. I mean, that's why I'm a football fan. I guess a Beaver fan. I'm rooting for my team. I'm with them through success and through failure, always believing that the best is around the corner. You know, when you find people like that, that don't want to be your best friend just because you got money in your pocket or you're on top of the world, or they just want to be with, they're with you through the good times and the bad times. And they want to give into your life instead of support you. no matter what. I think about these great, you know, business leaders and the faces of these big corporations, right? And we look at them and we go, man, they're so successful. I guarantee that there have been people with them. People in the background that we'll never know who they are or what they are. They're people that have stood with them through probably business failures, through bankruptcies, through whatever, but they were there. They came back to work. They may not even got paid, but they believed in them and they were there. And that's the kind, those are your people that believe in you, not because of what you can get, you know, they can get from you, but what they can impart into you. Come on, are you with me? Okay, 2 Samuel 15:21, it says, "But Ittai answered the king, 'As surely as the Lord lives, and as my lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king may be, whether it means life or death, there will your servant be.'" See, this guy, he believed in, you know, in David, and he believed he was with him. He was his people. Amen. So finally, when you're finding your people, you will know that they're your people because your people will always move you closer to God's purpose for your life. Your people will always move you closer to God's purpose for your life. They'll continually push you closer. They'll move you into the plan God has for you. And you need to stay with those people. Don't go looking for someone else. Stay with those people because they're going to help you go to that higher place in God. And they're going to stir you to go all in with God. And they will point out the moment that, hey, this step is available. You know, you need to step to a higher place and go all in. And they'll show you, hey, you know what? It's time to step up. It's time to press in again and go to a higher level. And I love the story of Elisha. Elisha, we talked about him before, but, you know, he became the prophet, the lead prophet, when he took over from Elijah. Elijah came along one day, and Elijah comes along, and he sees Elisha plowing in the field. And he takes his mantle and he throws it over him and he says, "Follow me." And Elisha says, "Wait, let me kiss my parents, say goodbye, and then I'll come." Well, let's read about it. So Elisha went from there, found Elisha, son of Shaphat, and he was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen, and he himself was driving the 12th pair. And Elijah went up to him and threw his cloak around him. Elisha then left his oxen and ran after Elijah. "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye," he said, "then I'll come with you." "Go back," Elisha replied. "What have I done to you?" So Elisha left him and went back. He took his yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. He burned the plowing equipment to cook the meat and gave it to the people, and they ate. And then he set out to follow Elisha and became his servant. Elisha followed after Elijah because he knew that Elijah was leading him into a greater and higher calling. Are you with me here? He said, "Wait a second. If I stay with this group, I'm just going to be the plowman. But if I go here, it's going to take me towards the higher purpose that God has for my life." And he knew that being with the right people was going to move him to fulfill his calling. And he found, you know, and so he kisses mom and dad, says goodbye, celebrates with a big barbecue. You know, and in that barbecue, guess what he does? You know, he burns his plow. He says, "You know what? There's never going to be anything to go back to." And a lot of times people keep their plow, park it in the garage, say, "You know, if this doesn't work out over here, I always got my plow." You don't want to do that. You don't want to just leave yourself a way out. Say, "Well, I'm going to try this, but if it doesn't work out, I'll just go back that." I mean, God has something. And when you find a group that is stirring you to move closer, fulfill your purpose in God, I mean, go after your calling. Burn the plows. Don't give yourself the option of returning to where you've been. Man, your people always move you towards God and towards His fulfilling His purposes. Maybe you're here today and you go, "You know what? I might need to burn a plow or two. I don't know. But if you find people like that, make them your people. People that believe that there's greatness in you. People that won't let you settle for anything less than God's best. People that will feed you more than they need you. People that are going to be good with you when you're good and when you're not so good. Come on, say amen. People that are going to push you towards God's purpose for you. You find those people, you just found your people. Your people. And make them your people. That's living the group life. And that's experiencing the benefits and the blessings of the group life. Ruth did it. Elisha did it. David's mighty men did it. Or all the riffraff that saw they were discontent and debt and in distress. And it changed their world, right? They found their people. And I'm telling you what, when you find them, value them. Value them. They're more important to you than your career. They're more important to you than the place you live. They're more important to anything else. And watch how God writes you into history with the help of those of your people. I promise you, He will. And here's the last thing I want to add. If you want to find your people, if you really want to find your people, people like we've described in these five characteristics, here's the big key. Be those kind of people. Be those kind of people. Be the kind of people that believe in the greatness of God has put in others. Don't let people that you love settle. Feed more than you need. Stick with them through the thick and thin. And always push them towards fulfilling God's purposes in them. And I'll tell you what, you'll be a magnet drawing people to your world. And it'll be the good life, because that's the group life. And it's powerful. Amen. May God grant us to live that group life and find our people. Come on, amen. And in it, become the people that others are looking for too.
Thank you for joining us. We are located at 1415 Northeast 223rd Avenue in Fairview, Oregon. You can find us online at www.anthemfamily.org and on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at My Anthem Family. God bless.